Beautiful, beautiful song. Last week we talked about location, location, location. We dealt with the strange request that God made of Jeremiah to buy land that was conquered and would be so conquered for 70 years. Buy it anyhow. God was testing Jeremiah's faith to believe that the promise that one day those lands would once again belong to Israel would be fulfilled. And we learned that our purpose in life is to remind people that no matter the present doom, a better day is coming. It was a sermon that focused on the future. Today's sermon will focus on the present. God also lives in Babylon. You see, Craig, in last week's sermon, we're focusing on the people in Judah, left behind. But Sister Deshay, today, we're focusing on the people who are captives in Babylon. And the good news for you today is, even though you may be a captive in Babylon, God lives also in Babylon. Are you listening to me? Let's pray. Grant us now, Lord, a vision of you afresh. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go back to our text, Jeremiah 29:11. A lot of people like that text. Several have expressed to me today that that is their favorite text in the Bible. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. It is an impudent text on the part of God. It is an assumptive statement on the part of God. It almost appears to be a egotistical statement on the part of God. For he says, for I know the thoughts I think toward you. And immediately, because the text is written to people in Babylon. Come on, y'all. He's writing to people in Babylon, not in Judah. He's writing to people who are captives. And they don't like being captives. They don't like being in Babylon. They don't like what God has done. And his assertive response to them, Cordell, is, don't you, because you're in trouble, don't you decide because you're in trouble how I feel about you. You may have cancer, but don't decide because you have cancer that I've stopped loving you. Come on now. Your marriage may be a wreck, but don't you decide because your marriage is a wreck that I don't like you anymore. And so he's kind of pushing back at the Jews. They're in Babylon. They're complaining. They don't like their circumstances, Jim, and God is saying, wait a minute. I know how I feel about you. Don't you tell me, because you have problems, that I've changed my mind about you. I know how I feel about you. I don't need you to tell me. See, folks, we never, ever judge God by our problems. Are you with me so far? So it says, I know the thoughts that I have toward you. And then he really gets assumptive. Now, they're in Babylon. Keep in mind, they're in strange place, strange people, strange land, strange customs. They can't go where they please. They are captives. They're in a ghetto. They are limited. And he says, my thought, even though you ain't got no money, my thoughts toward you are peace. Even though you've had a tough week, my thoughts toward you are peace and not evil. And I'm going to give you a future and a hope. Now, we took you back last week Jeremiah 25, 11, and 12, where it's announced they're going to be there 70 years. We told you. Remember I told you about Hananiah? Yeah. Remember, Charles, they got the word, Jeremiah, 70 years. Hananiah shows up in the next chapter. And Jeremiah, remember I told you to make his point that they were going to be in a yoke for 70 years, comes in church. Remember that? I told you about it last week, with a yoke on his shoulders. And Hananiah, the false prophet, shows up and says, oh, no, it's only going to be 2 years. Remember that scene I painted? And you have these two preachers in the pulpit, vying one against another, and the preacher, the two-year preacher, takes some kind of device or something, and he breaks the yoke on Jeremiah. God's going to break the yoke in 2 years. Jeremiah says, you can break that yoke all you want to, but they're going to be there 70 years, and you're going to die next year. And it happened. You remember that. That's the background. That's the background. Well, then Jeremiah, I told you this last week, then decides, I need, because the people in Babylon heard about this scene in church, this terrible battle between two pastors, and the word got back to them, Brother Kalis, and so Jeremiah writes a letter to them saying to them, look, no matter what you heard, Jeremiah 29, go there. No matter what you heard, thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, he sends a letter to the church folk in Babylon, whom I've caused to be carried away from the Jerusalem to Babylon. He's quoting the Lord. Build houses and dwell in them. You remember that from last week? He tells them, I don't care what you heard, get comfortable, you're going to be there. You're not coming home in 2 years, just stay, take wives, beget sons and daughters, build a life in Babylon. Why would God want me to live in Babylon? Let me go further. Why would God want me to be comfortable in Babylon? You've read your Bible. Babylon stands for confusion, doesn't it? Babylon is the opposite of Jerusalem, isn't it? The Bible cries out, Babylon is fallen. Why? Babylon is fallen and fallen. Why would the Lord want me to live someplace that's going to fall? Why this idea of dwelling in Babylon? Well, Let me build the allegory. Let me build the allegory. Human beings have been living in Babylon since Genesis 3. Hello. You have read Genesis 3. That's where we sinned. We were in paradise. Were we not in paradise? Everything God made in Eden, he says, was good. And then in chapter 3, they decide to eat some fruit they should not eat, had 50,000 kinds of fruit to eat. Woo! And they decide to eat that one fruit God said didn't eat, and immediately there were thorns and thistles. Immediately, there was strife between Adam and Eve. Immediately, they moved to Babylon. So the question, why would God want you to live in Babylon, is answered this way: because you chose to go there. Babylon is not his choice. Babylon is your choice. Come on, somebody. Because all during their days of idolatry and disobedience, in the days of the kings, God told them, if you keep doing this, I'm going to take the land from you. You see, listen to the preacher. What we want to do what we want. Then when trouble comes, we ask the question, why did God move me to Babylon? You're the one who chose Babylon. He just let you go where you wanted to go. But you didn't know what Babylon was like. You too, we've been in Babylon. Now that I have a different picture of Babylon, I don't know about you, but I'm glad God lives there. I guess I have to enjoy the sermon by myself now. Yes. He did not let me go. Hey, he did not let me go. Vicky, he went with me. Come on, y'all. The Word was made flesh. Hey! And dwelt among us. The Greek says he came and pitched his tent in our neighborhood. God moved to Babylon. He's here. By the way, Tacoma Park is Babylon. He's here. Your house is Babylon. He's there. Your job is Babylon. He's there. Your marriage is Babylon. He's there. Keep your eyes straight now. Married folk, don't punch each other. God lives in your Babylon. Amen. Oh, I got good news for you. You see, in the Bible, there are many texts that describe God. God is immortal, 1 Timothy 1:17. God is immutable, that is, he's consistent in character, Malachi 3:6. God is omniscient, knows everything, 1 John 3:20. God is omnipotent, can do anything, Matthew 19:26. But then last but not least, God is omnipresent. I'm glad today that God is not picky about neighborhoods. Amen. You know, when you bought your house, you were very particular. You know you were. Where it's going to be, how it's going to be, what's the value of the property, what's the neighborhood like, what's the crime rate, all that stuff you took into account, because we don't want to live anywhere. We like to live in places where the names are so-and-so Heights. Nobody wants to live in lower Marlboro. We live in upper Marlboro. You know, we psych ourselves out. Why? Because where we are, our circumstances are very important to us. But I serve a God who'll live in the ghetto if that's where I am. He'll live in Hog Bottom if that's where I live. Hallelujah. Makes no difference where I am. God will move there. Somebody rejoice on Jesus right now. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that we serve. So he's omnipresent, and the Bible develops this. Let's read a few texts, brethren. Put those texts up there. Deuteronomy 4:39. They're hungry to read the Bible with the pastor. Come on, let's read it. Come on. Therefore know this day. Everybody, therefore know this day and consider it in your heart that the Lord himself is God in heaven, above, on the earth beneath. And there is no other. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. So you got the Monday morning, some of y'all got to go to that job where that crazy boss is. He's there. You ought to say, thank you, Jesus. Yes. Some of us work for some very insane people. That's why I'm not worried right now about the White House. Because he's there. Come on, somebody. Yes, sir. He's there. That's all I said. That's all I said. That's all I said. I'm just giving you good news this morning. There's no place where God is not. Let the church say amen. Look at Psalm 139. Oh, this is beautiful. Psalm 139. Come on. Come on, everybody. Read it with power. If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell. Now, Jim, that's a powerful text. If I go to the worst place you've heard of, if you go to the worst place you've heard of, I'm there. Keep reading. Keep reading. Keep reading. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell on the uttermost parts of the sea. Read on. Even there your hand shall lead me. Now, we got to pause there. That means, Rosen, when they got to Babylon, God was already there. He led them there. I want that to sink in. When you were diagnosed with cancer, God was there. Isn't that good news? Read on, and your right hand shall hold me. You're right. Come on. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light upon me. And indeed, indeed the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. And then take them to Jeremiah 23:24. Let's read that one. Jeremiah 23:24. Come on. Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth? Now, God has ubiquity and probiquity. Ubiquity in that he's everywhere. Probiquity, he's always near. No, I ain't listening. If you listened, you'd have said amen. See, God's omnipresence is personal. Not only is he everywhere, but then he's near you. I wish somebody would just get a hold of that. See, it's personal. There are times when I need to feel the presence of the Lord. I want him to hold me. Come on now. I want him to be beside me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me in my shadow of my death. I appreciate your testimony and how he kept you, but I need to know sometimes he's right there keeping me. Ubiquity. Probiquity. So this everywhere presence of God is a very, very personal thing. In fact, Hagar understood it when she was in trouble with her mistress, Sarah, and she was out there by herself. In Genesis 16:13, she heard the voice of the Lord and she named it, God sees me. Psalm 145:18, God is near to all that call upon him. You see it? And then Matthew 28:20, we love, lo, I am with you always. Now let's get back to Jeremiah 29:11. We always stop reading there. That's the problem. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. And we say amen, we close our Bible. But the next verses are what proves to me that God lives in Babylon. Will you look at that text? Read it. Then you will call upon me. Where? Where? In Babylon. Come on, somebody. He said, you see, the proof that I will bring you to a good end is that you don't have to move back to Judah to have a prayer service. You don't have to go back to where the temple is and contact me right there in Babylon. In your house in Babylon. And by the way, the word ghetto was invented in Babylon. Ghetto described the place where all the Jews lived. That's when the word ghetto was born. Ezekiel, who was their pastor, was the one who invented the word synagogue. It was the gathering of the Jews in Babylon in the ghetto. And God says, when you have church in the ghetto, when you gather together in the ghetto, call upon me right there in Babylon, and I'll hear you. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Those folks worshiping today outside in the Virgin Islands, those people worshiping outside in Puerto Rico, they know what I'm talking about. They know there is a God who hears you and worships with you when the walls of the church have been torn down, when the ceiling is no longer there, when you can't find a hymnal. Just raise a hymn from your heart and I'll hear you in your Babylon. Hallelujah. He said, call upon me in Babylon. Now, that's not what they wanted to hear. But you see, folk, God has never promised to get you out. He has promised to get you through. That's why he specializes in hearing Babylonian prayers. You got to pray out of your mess. Your marriage is messed up, pray out of it. Your job is messed up, pray out of it. Your health is messed up, pray out of it. Talk to God in Babylon. You see, in the book of Romans, the 7th chapter, verses 23 down to the end, God makes it clear that we live in a body of death. I am surrounded with, my flesh is Babylon. So God says in Romans 8, I will go down inside of Henry's flesh, take it on. I'll take it on, and in carnal flesh, he can, through the Spirit, live by me. So God moves in to the Babylon named Henry Wright, surrounds himself with the Babylon of my flesh. And in the Babylon of my flesh, God lets righteousness come forth. Hallelujah! I'm trying to tell you, God lives in Babylon. But he's not done. He's not done. Verse 13. Look at it. Look at verse 13. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. Come on. Come on. Put it up there, brethren. Put it up there. There you go. Oh, I love God's word. Come on, let's read. Here it is. Where? 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 And do what? Where? When you search for me with all your heart. Folk, you can find the Lord in a storm. You can find the Lord in a hospital. You can find the Lord in an empty pantry. He says, just make contact with me in your mess, and you'll find I have been there. Remember, he has propinquity. He's always near. Our problem is not the closeness of God. Our problem is our faith in God. He ain't gone nowhere. I hate folks to say they found the Lord. Wasn't lost. He knows where you are. He knows how you are. He knows what you need. He's just waiting to hear you cry out, Lord, I'm in Babylon. Have mercy on me. Seek me. The problem is you got to put your heart into it. See, the danger of Babylon is comfortableness. Last part of my sermon. 70 years later, a decree was passed to set them free. You remember that? Some of y'all know the Bible. Yeah, a few of you do. And you know, when that decree was passed, to let them go home? Oddly, most of them didn't want to go. See, the danger of Babylon is getting comfortable. The danger of Babylon was they reached the point when they stopped seeking him there. They stopped calling on him there. They said, we like Babylon. I know my pornography is wrong, but I like it. I know the alcohol is wrong, but I like it. I know spending God's tithe when things are tight, but God understands. I like it. The lost amens, ain't no amens falling from this place, nor anymore. Had a bunch of amens just a few minutes ago. Where are the people, Lord? Are we finding out that the danger of Babylon is Babylon? See, that's why God moved there. He knows the power, the attraction of Babylon. He said, I got to stay there with them. And when the 70 years were over, a bunch of them says, we ain't going back. Brothers and sisters, the day is coming. I done read my Bible. When the clouds were rolled back, Avondale, and the Son of Righteousness shall appear, and the rays from God shall come down. There shall be a trumpet waking up the dead. It'll be time to leave Babylon. And I don't want the Lord to say to me, let the rocks fall upon him. Let him stay here in Babylon. I want to be part of those that rise up from Babylon. Even though God lives there, I was not created to stay there. The problem with Babylon is Babylon. The problem with Tacoma Park is Tacoma Park. This is not where I'm headed. This is not my home. God only moved to Babylon to get me out of Babylon. Are you with me, saints? While they were there, he sent Ezekiel to preach to them in the streets. Now remember, Ezekiel and Jeremiah are contemporaries. Jeremiah's back in Judah telling them, stay there. Ezekiel is in Babylon saying, God's here with you. But God didn't stop. See, he's so anxious to get you out of Babylon, he works every angle he can. Then another contemporary of Jeremiah and Ezekiel was Daniel. And Daniel lived with the king. Come on, y'all. Come on, somebody just stay awake. So he's got every end covered. God is running things. In fact, if you read the first, second, third, and fourth chapters of Daniel, he winds up, Nebuchadnezzar becomes converted. He starts believing in God. So God's working every end. Why? Because he wants to get his people out. That's why I'm not worried about the White House. Because Daniel is in the White House. God's got unseen angels. Ellen White says in Great Controversy, she says when the great leaders of the world come together, she says they think they're making decisions, but angels are there. God is there in Babylon, keeping things straight, keeping things sound. I'm done. Keeping things fixed. Because God is an expert in Babylon. Wasn't that a good sermon? It was a wonderful sermon from God. Not worried about the thoughts he has toward me. I got proof now. I'm at peace now. The thoughts he had toward me are peace. He does mean me a good end, because God is never intimidated by my mess. He lives in Babylon. I love this song that Anwar is going to sing. Be not dismayed, whatever betide. Finish it. God. Go on, Anwar.
Be not dismayed, whatever betide.
Yes, yes, yes.
God
yes.
will take care of you. Take care of you.
You know the chorus. Sing it.
God will take care of you.
Sing it, saints.
Through every day.
Yes.
All the way.
Sing it again now. God.
He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Next verse. Listen.
Through days of toil when your heart does fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fear your path assail,
problem. Things aren't going so well at home domestically. You got a Babylon problem. You've gotten way behind with those student loans. And you're still in school. You got a Babylon problem. Car won't start, and you got to get to work on Monday, and you hate the metro. If you have sense, you hate the metro. You got a Babylon problem. There's some personal issue that's keeping you from having the spiritual connection with God you ought to have. You're living in Babylon, and came to tell you today that God is living there with you. He said, while in Babylon, seek me and you'll find me. Did we read it? And so you want me to pray for you that in your Babylon situation, you'll find God. If that's your need, just raise your hand. Mine goes up first. Keep it up there. And put it down. Next appeal. You've gotten too used to Babylon. And that zeal you once had to leave Babylon, to see his face in peace, to be ready for the second coming, that zeal has waned. know it, your religious experience has become an ultimatum. You're operating on reflex, not zeal and love. Your Christian experience has been diluted by Babylon. You want prayer for more fervor. Let's try that one. Your hand is up. Fewer hands, that's understandable. Your hand is down. You need to come forward and make a decision for Christ and church. Maybe for you a fresh start. Maybe you've been thinking about joining this church and taking Bible studies. What you're sure of is that you don't want to stay in Babylon. This final appeal is to ask you to come forward. Heads bowed, eyes closed, people praying. Bible study, baptism, even transfer of membership. You'll come. We'll do it. I see your hand. I see your hand. Is that you, Luke? Good to see you. I want you to come down front, Luke. This young man's been visiting our prayer meeting. Tried to be as content as I can be in Babylon, but I sure want to get out. So don't let me lose that hunger to return to paradise. But I want to thank you, Jesus, for taking on the Babylon of my flesh, the Babylon of my neighborhood, the Babylon of my life circumstances. I'm glad you live in Babylon. And I'm glad that you're not just everywhere, you're also near. Near me. Oh, sweet Jesus, thank you. Upon these precious ones who have come, we give glory and thanks to God. And for the word that has come from heaven today, not from Henry Wright, but from heaven. In Jesus' name we pray, and all the people said, amen. Please be seated. Are you glad you came to church?